Joining us on the line is Fox News chief Washington correspondent James Rosen to talk about this, because he's also, in addition to being an expert on politics, an expert on the Beatles. A great loss for those of us who admire Beatles music.
Well, good morning, Brian and Larry. Really a great loss for anyone who loves popular music. The influence of this man, Sir George Martin, now dead at 90, on popular culture writ large is truly incalculable. He was the producer for all but one of the Beatles albums. He also produced a lot of other many chart-topping hits for other artists. He is the record producer who has the most number one hits to his name.
Wow.
And that's likely to stay that way.
You know, I always looked at him as also a musician, because play a little bit of the cut number 25 if you could. Eleanor Rigby, we instantly know that. But all of the string quartet, the double string quartet there, was written, it was composed, it was arranged by George Martin. He was a very good musician on his own right.
Well, yes, he was classically trained. He also, what you just played was one of his arrangements, and he was a master at it. He also did the arrangement for the string quartet on Yesterday, which is, of course, the most recorded song of all time, with something like 4,000 recorded versions. But he also was a musician. And the reason why I think that George Martin lays claim to the title of Fifth Beatle is because he actually played the piano and other instruments on a lot of Beatles songs, particularly the early covers of rock and roll classics. And there probably isn't another person besides the four Beatles who played on as many Beatle tracks as George Martin.
James, you mentioned that he produced all but one of the albums, and that one album was Let It Be, produced by Phil Spector. And many people point to the process of making Let It Be as sort of the real definitive end of the Beatles. They got back together, they asked George to produce Abbey Road, but they all kind of knew that this was going to be their last album. Why did that even come about? Why did the Beatles turn to Phil Spector? And I think, doesn't this also tell us that George Martin's presence in the studio, when it wasn't there, when it was Phil Spector instead, everything fell apart?
Well, this has to do with really the personal dynamics within the band. The Beatles were truly schoolboys when they met, and by the time they broke up, they were men, some of them approaching 30, and they had grown so much. In part, they had grown apart. And so that's what really accounts for those dynamics. One point of fact is that it wasn't the Beatles who turned to Phil Spector to shape the mess of tracks of the 60 hours or so of the Let It Be sessions into an album. It was their manager at the time, Alan Klein, and Paul McCartney was famously disappointed with the final product, such that in 2006, with the cooperation of the other surviving Beatles and their estate managers, he released Let It Be Naked, which was the vision of the album that he had without all the Phil Spector overproduction on it.
Was George Martin sort of the grown-up in the room sometimes with all the shenanigans? Yes, they were boys, but they were also experimenting with drugs. There was a lot of goofiness that went on during these sessions, right?
The one way in which George Martin was not the fifth Beatle was attitudinally. He was 14 years older than the oldest Beatle, Ringo Starr, 17 years older than the youngest Beatle, George Harrison. And so he wasn't a member of the psychedelic generation, if you will. And throughout their recording career together, he was always in a shirt and tie, while the Beatles became ever more flamboyant in manners of dress and style. Attitudinally, he was not a Beatle. That claim to the fifth Beatle status was probably their road manager, Neil Aspinall, who was with them through the entire thing and eventually became the head of their company, Apple.
Well, I mean, he was the glue that kept them going at times when, I mean, wildly creative people. At times they were at loggerheads, I mean, fighting and sniping at one another. But somehow he was the one guy who could keep them all on the track.
He was the guiding influence. When the Beatles first started recording, they had never been in a recording studio proper before. He was the only recording manager or recording producer who was willing to take a chance on the Beatles in Britain. And he played a truly integral role in so many of the songs. Please Please Me eventually started out its life, their first number one hit, as a kind of a dirge like Roy Orbison ballad. And it was George Martin who said, "Hey, fellas, let's do it in double the tempo. You're going to have a hit here." And he did.
Isn't that something?
Many.
That is amazing. He did have a good sense for it and a good ear and a good musician in his own right. What a great loss. George Martin, the producer of all those wonderful albums and the songs that we have come to love over the years, dead at the age of 90.